Hey, this is your girl Erica L from Brown Girl Table Talk. We have a special guest with us today. I am going to let him introduce himself. I am elated to speak with him. So let's just get started, get right into it.
Peace, peace, family. This is your brother, Lord Baraka here. First off, I just want to say thank you for inviting me on your platform.
Well, thank you.
I'm feeling very humbled to even be a part of it, or to even be considered.
I'm elated just to have conversation with you, and I'm looking forward to chopping it up. I know this is going to be a great session. So start off by telling us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Oy Baraka. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm a father, husband, entrepreneur, warrior, Pan-Africanist. I'm just one of those well-rounded individuals who loves his people and, tries to do the best for the people around him.
Awesome, awesome. I love the fact that you say you're a warrior. That means that, warriors, when I think about warriors, they take charge. And
right.
And this is a good segue into our conversation, because one of the things that my dad always shared with me, he said, a great man is great when they have not just necessarily meaning being controlled, but they know that they're the head, like the head of their household, that they're the head when they step out the door. And these days and times, I think that's more important. It's even more important for us as females, African-American females in general, to uplift the man, the black man, and give you all the credit when credit is due. Like, I feel like most black men don't get the credit that they deserve, so you clearly put that down from the beginning. And so I respect that.
I appreciate it. the thing is, as far as us getting the credit, I'm sorry, since I'm giving those feedback.
That's okay.
Okay. Let's make sure that, when we keep the fresh. What was I going to say? So, we get demonized. Our masculinity is demonized from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
It always has been from the gate. And so, when, like you say, things like, black men not getting the credit that, they deserve or may deserve at their time, that kind of plays into that whole thing. Like, we can't allow him to be great or in his greatness at that particular moment. Right? And so, meaning, like, even with little things today, like with our athletes, when they do something great, if they're writing about them in the news, they'll always bring up something negative about them, even if it's just a real small one. So you have to have some type of stain on you some kind of way, even when you're doing something good.
Right. Which is so wrong.
But, it's to be expected, though. It's to be expected. And I say that because black men, I guess you would say, like the litmus test for white supremacy. And so, when I say that, I'm just saying that whenever you want to know the status of white supremacy or how it's going, you have to look at the status of the black man.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? If he's rising too high, white supremacy is not working as well. You know what I'm saying? But if he's the lowest of the low, white supremacy is working just how it's supposed to.
Because they feel like they're doing their job to keep the black right. man down.
Right, exactly. And I tell people, it's kind of weird, right? Like, some people don't get when I say this. It's like, I understand. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. It's us that's not doing what we're supposed to do.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, when you are playing a game that, you don't know you're playing, you know what I'm saying? It would seem like, well, damn, why did they keep, you know, waging war. Why does it seem like God was waging war against us? Right?
Right.
It's because, you know, well, hey, you haven't obviously realized that there's a competition being played.
And they want to win. They want to win.
Yes, exactly. As anybody does. Like, 'cause if you got the same thing going on with, say, in Latino communities. They're experiencing the same thing, but right now they're trying to keep their head down because they got stuff going on, too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're being locked up on the borders and stuff like that. I don't get me wrong, there's nowhere in comparison to our history at all. But
mm-hmm.
I know in their household, they have their own set of problems that they're dealing with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Their own and disparities.
So, right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to do with anything with me, but it's time that we, you know what I'm saying, get our head out of our ass. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
we
like
do.
It's time for us to get our head out of our ass and, you know what I'm saying, open our eyes to what's going on.
So, I guess, this is a question for everybody. Like, how do we do that? How do we get our head out of our ass? Like, I think that this COVID, with COVID-19, is a good example because this gives us an opportunity to even study and soul search us even more. Like, me personally, this time has been beautiful for me because I've, you know, been able to spend more time with my family. Although I don't have my immediate family around me, we have literally connected more. We're able to talk on the phone more. You know, the conversation, you know, usually it's like, you know, you call your mom on Sundays after church or whatever, or you talk to your sister once a week or something like that. But now it's more so like, you know, we really connecting and talking to each other more, and there's no real hustle and bustle where you don't talk to somebody for a month or two. I mean, I'm taking this time, you know, to dig deeper into knowledge of self, you know?
Yeah. But see, a lot of people are really starting to realize what's important. I had a lady from a couple who run a tattoo shop where I have one of my vending machines at.
Mm-hmm.
And they were telling me that while they quarantine was going on, that, you know, they had that epiphany, like, you know, we absolutely work too much. Like, she was telling me, like, you know, so a lot of times they don't get home until, you know, like maybe 4 in the morning, and then, you know, go to sleep and get right back up and do it all over again the next day. And so this quarantine has literally got them to sit down in one spot, you know, get things done that they, you know, been wanting to get done with the house and stuff like that. And so a lot of people are taking it as a real constructive time.
Right.
To get some things done.
And I feel like it's just putting things into perspective. So then that way when things do open again, it's not going to go back to the normal. This is going to be like a new normal. It's going to cause people to literally say, okay, I do need to take a break. Like, I do need to actually take time out and spend more time with my children. Or, like you said, you know, if there's things around the house that I need to do, I need to take care of that and not put it on the back burner, you know.
Right.
So,
No,
you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, see, what's interesting about that is, so when I was in corporate America, there was a point in time when I was in corporate America, and, you know, you sit through these trainings, and sometimes, you know, they'll say things that kind of stick with you or whatever, but one day they were talking about the difference in, you know, the generations, right? You know, you got Gen Z, Generation X, and
right.
The baby boomers and so on and so forth, right?
Right.
And so they were saying that my parents' generation was the generation to be a little bit more loyal to the company, and, you know, they'll come to work whenever you need them to, and they don't really like to move around jobs. But it wasn't until you had the millennials come through and say, nah, one particular company. I'm going to take my vacation. I'm going to go and, you know, try to spend time with my kids. But I think even still, there was a point, there was an urgency to be like, okay, so I need to get this work done because I got to grind, I got to get the bag.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I need some stability and whatever. And I think now, especially with, you know, the internet really, really taking off like, you know, they predicted it would,
mm-hmm.
people are starting to, you know, find alternatives to keep money coming in, residual income. So now I don't have to be stuck in no job like I, you know, like that. I can still work and still do that, but I don't have to be stuck. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not hurting if this job decides to let me go. Now, with the virus going on and everyone losing their job all at once and stuff like that, yeah, mm-hmm. things are hard. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. I see it.
Right.
But just the mentality is what I'm speaking to. The mentality of the generation is a little bit different.
Right.
And,
right.
What they used to be.
Yeah, that's true. And you're right, because I remember, you know, both of my parents are now retired, and they both had tremendous longevity on jobs. For me personally, like, you know, I know a lot of people, after a year or two on one job, it's time to transition to something else. Yeah. Or 3 years max or what have you. Very few people are staying on jobs past, you know, 5 years. So that's true. And it's, you know, I think just...
I'm sorry, I was just going to say, and that's interesting, right? Because, so, before my mindset switched to entrepreneurship, I had been on my job, like I said, in corporate America for 10 years. Because I had the idea, like, you know what, I got to retire from here because... if this don't work out, you know what I'm saying, it's back to the warehouse or back to, you know what I'm saying, whatever. And I didn't have a degree to fall back on, so that's how I knew it was like, okay, yeah, I'm going back to the warehouse, absolutely, because there's not going to be another job that pays me this amount of money and, you know, gives me this amount of benefits and anything to be cushy like that. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, if something goes wrong with this, that was it.
So how did your transition happen? Like, you know.
You know what? I think just, you know, going through different levels of consciousness. Right? So when I first started going down this rabbit hole, it was, you know, fuck the cracker. I'm black every day, which is still that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of evolve and you start to understand, like I was saying a while ago, now I understand why they play the game white supremacy. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
it's, regardless, it's going to be the haves and the have or the have-nots. There is no equality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so now when you get to that point to where you realize that, hey, I'm going to have to play this game for survival, because that's what they're doing. They're playing the game for survival, and they've just been winning for the last 500 years. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be either or.
Right. Either I'm going to win, like, or you're going to win, you know, and they don't want you to win.
Right. Because your winning results in my death. My winning results in your death. I get it now. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why when certain things happen, I don't have to get emotional about it no more, because I don't lean on the hope or the belief that you really do love me the way you say you do.
Because the reality is that they really don't.
Right.
So with that being said,
relationship.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, with that being said, with the most recent shooting of this wonderful black man who was actually jogging in his neighborhood, like, and gunned down. And it took a video to come out for these people to even be charged.
After 10 weeks.
10 weeks.
And the sad part, they said they had the video 2 days after it happened.
Wow.
So the police had been saw the video. They'd been seen. They didn't know what had happened. But, you know, the father the older white supremacist being, I guess he was an ex-police officer or whatever, you know what I'm saying? He has those connections and those ties into that community.
Mm.
And so, and that's how we're just actually seeing how white supremacy protects their own. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's all it is. Like,
and they'll continuously be protected while they're in jail. Right.
Because that's how the game is played. Like, even though, like, let's just keep it 100, right? Like, even though we know, like, he doesn't really just have any clout. Like, he can't just make a phone call and just have some shit, you know, change overnight. He doesn't have that kind of power, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he is one of the powerful pawns on the chessboard. You know what I'm saying? And if you play chess, you know, yeah, you can sacrifice your pawns, but if you don't have to, why do it? You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And so right now, he wasn't being sacrificed until he had to be, which was, you know, us waking up to them being arrested in the morning. They had to sacrifice him then.
Right. But they say, we're going to sacrifice you, but we got you.
Yeah, but we got you. Wink, wink. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we're going to have to send you and put you on the jury, but, you know, hey, give us a couple of months or maybe a year or whatever. We'll have you back out on the streets, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Depending on how bad the shitstorm gets.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like we have to have this hissy fit, like, you know, all this outcry has to happen for just one thing to take place. And so that says a lot too, you know, and it's frustrating even as a mom raising a black boy to become a black man and to see this, you know, like, it's almost like, you know, it's hard to explain to them that you can still win. I'm still focusing and instilling the right things in him, but at the same time, he sees how society views him. Society don't view him as this strong, intelligent, smart person. You know, they don't see him. Yeah, they see him as a threat. They see him as evil, crazy, whatever. And in reality is, they crazy.
So that we are trying to be sane in an insane world, which makes everything backwards. One of the things that you have to let your sons know is that they are enough. Same thing that we have to let our daughters know is that, mm-hmm. you know, you're enough. You know, don't listen to the outside forces that are going to tell you that you're not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, the little black boys and little black girls' creativity is what's running this world right now. We don't look at it in the sense because we don't benefit from it, but our creativity and our creative juices and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
that's what, you know, is paying the bills. Hip-hop, that's you know, that's young black people.
Yeah.
And the whole world is affected by hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? You know, whether good, bad, right or wrong, or indifferent or whatever,
mm-hmm.
they still have that influence. Like, you got little Asian kids, you know, dancing like black people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, like, we'll study, and this is the interesting thing, they study us. They study us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, yeah, wow, how can she make her booty pop like that?
Well, see, but think about this.
It's
people
funny.
People have always studied the gods.
Mm.
People have always studied the gods and tried to understand, you know, the power that God has. The thing is, us being the gods, we forget that we are.
Right. So,
you know,
let's get into that a little bit because, you know, when you have a certain level, when some people say, oh, you woke, you ain't woke, or you don't understand, right. Like, you are a god. Like,
right.
What do you say to people? And that's one thing, I guess, too, I think religion was created for separation. Religion was created, you know, the more and more I study that, I feel like religion was created to separate us in so many different ways, and also to keep us down, like, in so many different ways, like, as well. Like, to keep us in our place.
Yeah, keep us, you know, I guess you can say subservient to, you know, whatever we deem God to be. And so, for me, and sometimes, you know, to some people, I may be an asshole to some people, I don't know. But sometimes, you know, I just ask the question, how can I not be? Like, you know, you can't say that. Well, how can I not say that? Your book says it. Why can I not say it? You know what I'm saying? And so that was one of the things which, you know, coming up with going through those different levels, just I studied a lot. I became like a child again and just had that sponge-like brain, so I started to soak up all the game I could. And so, you know, even though I don't profess to be, you know, a Christian anymore or whatever, me and a Christian can still sit down and have a real thorough conversation on what their book says. And, you know, I could enlighten them on some things.
And I think it's about being open-minded and like you're saying, being more conscious. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are right and I'm wrong or vice versa.
Right.
It's about having a candid conversation where you can sit down and, like you said, and absorb what the person is saying and what their views are.
It's all because of ego. It's all because of ego. Ego is what, you know, allows us not to receive, you know, new information. And so, we also, you know, feel some type of way if someone doesn't use the language and the terms that we're comfortable with. You know what I'm saying? Some people may say, you know, energy. Some people may say God. Some people may say, you know, deities, mental, whatever, but
it's all the same.
Really just, it's all the same thing. Like we argue over semantics, and you know, I try to make a conscious effort not to do that all the time because we get nowhere when we do it.
Right. I think.
You know, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
You about to give me a good example?
Well, no, I was just about to say, you know, don't get me wrong, you know, when I was coming up in this consciousness of, you know, watching debates and, you know, people arguing, go back and forth over schools of thought, you know, it was entertaining, you know, but then you think to yourself, okay, well, where do we go from there? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do we apply all of this knowledge that we have? And then once you start trying to do that, you start to figure out that, well, you know, well, so-and-so is really saying the same thing as this person. It's just, you know, he's using this word and that word. Like, we argue over semantics.
Right. I just, you know, when I think about being on a, like they say, on a different level, or not even on a necessarily different level, but just being more conscious. Being more conscious means being conscious of self, like having the power of knowing what you as yourself can do. And and this, like you said, come from a good book. Like, you know, it's in the book, it's in the Bible. It says, you know, that you need to be like me, which is God. So why wouldn't you want to have that power? Like, I want to have that power to change. I want to be able for somebody to see me and say, whoa, like, just from them even looking at me, or even if I just say 3 words to somebody, that it can change their lives. Like, my body language, the way I speak, the way I talk, have the ability to change somebody. Why not?
Definitely. And you're supposed to have that influence. Even everything on the molecular level, you know, have influence on the other molecules around them. It's supposed to, you know what I'm saying? Because energy tries to get for other energy around it to match. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything works like that. In every system, you know, you're trying to get everything around you to get on your frequency, to get on your level. Or you're trying to grow into the level that you're aspiring to.
Do you think that's why you didn't fit in corporate world anymore?
You know what? I on a spiritual level, yes.
Okay.
I didn't fit because I wasn't the politic, you know, I didn't play politics. I don't like office politics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I don't like being surrounded by a bunch of white people and, you know, you're sitting in the meetings and they're saying, well, we're all family. And then when something happens to someone who looks like me, and I'm obviously feeling some type of way about it, nobody says anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to say anything. Right? And so it's like, you know, in the streets, like when you call somebody, hey, that's my family. You know what I'm saying? Even if you're not, you know, blood family, when you tell somebody that, no, we family, you mean that.
Right. And you're going to support them.
It takes a, you know what I'm saying? Think about it. How many play cousins you got just because you've grown up with that person? That means y'all are close.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they turn around and meet your kids, or, you know, you're introducing your friend. Oh, yeah, that's my auntie over there. But that's not your blood auntie. That's just your mama's best friend that they've been friends since elementary school.
Exactly. And
you know what I'm saying?
So that's my cousin because we played together.
Yeah. When you say you rock with me, I'm going to expect you to rock with me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so in corporate America, they do a lot of talking, but, you know what I'm saying, there's no action really behind it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I think, you know, also, so, too, they don't have respect.
For those kind of game.
Yeah, I get it. Say no more because, like, I mean, me personally, it really gets under my skin. Like you said, you know, how they, you know, portrays one way and they have these values and core goals and things of the nature for their business, but they don't really, they're not going by their business model.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of fluff in the words. You know what I'm saying? They use a lot of spin to make things sound nice, but they don't practice what they preach.
Yeah. And that's difficult.
So you kind of get that inside. And you start to see, especially if you're there long enough, you start to see, these people don't care about me. You know what I'm saying? Like, if something happens to me, you know, my job will be up, you know, in a week. Or be filled in a week, at least.
So what do you think, like, how do you feel about where, like, in this, given, speaking in right now, like, as far as, like, what advice would you give to, you know, a black man right now, or what would you say, like, the state of the culture right now? Like, what state are we in right now? Like, really?
Oh, man. That's a good question. So, even when dealing with advice, with, you know, like when you say, okay, what advice would I give to another black man? At this particular point in time, it's all hands on deck, for one, but you have to get your mind right in condition, because it makes no sense to you know, we're gonna say, you know, put you on my team if you don't even have the right mindset. Mm-hmm. But right now, we have to be in the survival mode, nation building, we all we got mindset. You know what I'm saying? We can't have that. Yeah, we got the fuck the cracker on this side, but at the same time, you know what I'm saying, I still want to go out and do the same shit and engage in the same shit that I was doing, you know, two weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And when you say all hands on deck, what you mean by all hands on deck? Because some people don't understand that. Like,
All hands on deck means it's survival mode. It's survival time. Now it's time to, now we got to be cautious in the way we move. We got to be cautious in the things that we do, you know, how we present ourselves and all types of stuff, because everything is a threat to the powers that be. It's a threat to white society. It's a threat to white supremacy. Just our existence is a threat. And so right now, we know the country runs on fear. Right now, they're extra scared, which is why you see certain things, like, which is why you see, you know, situations like our dear brother out in Georgia.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is why you see, like, just in a matter of a week, maybe like 5, 6, or 7 police brutality videos came out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's like interesting. They're coming back out as the government slowly opens. Think right. about it. Yep.
It's that abuse porn. You know what I'm saying? Let me continue to show you where your place in this system is at.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? One of the brothers was saying that, you know, they're trying to exercise their power in what is soon probably be an apartheid state.
You think so? You know,
they're trying to figure out how do we maintain control even though our numbers are the minority now. You know what I'm saying?
And what a good way but to keep us inside the house and give us a stimulus check. I said, what a better way than to keep us inside the house, give us a stimulus check, and then give us the opportunity to spend that stimulus check frivolously.
Oh, yeah. We have to understand the pimp-hole relationship. We don't understand the pimp-hole relationship. You know, much as we used to talk about it and stuff, we really don't understand it. You know what I'm saying? It's the psychology behind it. And I just recently reposted a video of Ice-T kind of breaking that down. He was breaking it down from the perspective of the music industry, but, you know what I'm saying, the information kind of transcends just the music industry.
Right.
And so if I can get you to stay believing in this American dream or this American nightmare, whatever, if I can get you to stay believing in that by just giving you a little funky ass $1,200 and, you know what I'm saying, and I can still get you to go back to work, continue to go back to work for me, even though this pandemic is out here taking people out. And continue to go back to work for me. I'll go ahead and give you this little $1,200. And we'll be good like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people bought it.
Yeah.
A lot of people bought it. A lot of people are buying it. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I know people need the money. People are hurting for the money.
And you know, it's funny you say that. No, I was going to say, it's funny you say that because even my mom, my mom's very spiritual. She's a Christian. And she even said to herself, she said, we got to pray for our black people because they're the ones who's dying. And they're not dying because the COVID-19 is necessarily killing them. It's because they not getting the proper care. They denying people testing, you know, that, you know, say they feel like they have symptoms. It's the system that's killing us. If I walk into, if I walk in somewhere and want a service, I'm not going to get the same. And we know this. We're not going to get the same service as the white female walk in there. They're not going to take care of us the way that, you know. People are dying alone senselessly, not necessarily because of COVID-19. It's because we're not receiving the same level of care that someone else would get. We know that.
The people who are dying are the people who are the people who weren't supposed to benefit from the system in the first place.
Hmm. Even immigrants, they're dying.
Right. Like, these are people who weren't supposed to benefit from the system or the healthcare system or the justice system in the first place. It wasn't for us. And some people are just now coming to that realization. Some people are still blind to the fact. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, said that, oh, you know, she said something about, you know, this system is killing us. The thing is, the system has never stopped killing us.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of, you know, went to sleep and hoped that it just disappeared, but it never stopped. It just kind of transformed as the technology changed.
You're right.
Yeah, like even some of the same tips and tricks and, you know, things that they've done in the past, they're trying to do again. You know what I'm saying? They're just using the same playbook over and over again. And we keep, you know, falling forward and thinking that it's going to be something different. But we really have to realize, like, I was just asking this question earlier, what do people think the difference between history and now is? You know what I'm saying? Like, when we say we're at war, a lot of people think that, you know, oh, we have to be out in the streets and, you know, shooting at each other and, you know, they're willing to know that we're at war. And the thing is, even during World War II, you know what I'm saying, people mm-hmm. still went out and went to the bars and, you know, did little goofy stuff like that while the war was going on around them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's how, like, how do we think that a lot of mixed people were born after the war? Like, you know, you saw a rise in I guess you say black Asian, black yeah. Asians, black and Asian babies or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, white and Asian babies, like you saw a rise in that because, you know, a lot of the soldiers was over there sleeping with, you know, a lot of the women from the other countries and stuff like that.
Right.
And
Vietnamese.
You know, yeah, that's what I think about. That's what I'm thinking about the field.
Yeah.
You
know, yep.
But things are still going on in those countries. People are still living, you know what I'm saying, in the midst of the war. And so that's kind of like what's going on with us now, like with our brother in Georgia. That was an attack. That's what that was.
Yeah. And we at war.
And we at war.
And they so comfortable about shooting, but we not so comfortable about shooting back.
Right.
Hmm.
That was the part that upset me the most. That's kind of why I was hesitant to even speak on it, because of our reaction to it, right? Like, people literally started talking about run for a move. Run for him. Hashtag run with a move or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, you just watched your brother be slain in the street and you thinking to run? Like, that's how you want to solve this situation? That's how you plan on getting justice? Run? Like, we're just going to show them how much we're emotionally hurt and we just going to run? Like, no, nah, I'm not built like that. That's not enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with this arrest, like, it's not enough. I was upset to know that their address was out on the internet and nobody went to their house.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say nobody went to their house, I'm not talking about, like, with news cameras or no justice, no peace type stuff. I'm talking about, all right, yeah, we finna sit out here and lay wait until dude come out. Because it's about to get real for real.
But that's, you got to think about, that's Brunswick, Georgia. Brunswick, yeah. Georgia. I mean, where racism is alive and very well. Like, it's...
Right.
It runs so deep.
Even in the video that the brother was running on, it looked like he was just running through, like, some old slave fields. And I may be tripping, but I kind of watched it. I didn't watch it that many times, kind of like twice.
I haven't even watched it. I didn't even want to watch it. I know what my reaction would be. I didn't even watch it, to be honest with you.
Right.
It just really saddens me once again. Like, you know, here we go again.
Yeah, it snuck up on me. Because I had that same kind of mindset, like, man, I don't really want to watch anything like that. But, you know, sometimes people put stuff up with no captioning.
Right.
Before you know it, you know. You're
watching
here,
it, yeah.
in the middle of, you know what I mean? But
my question is, what if somebody did roll up? Like, then that would make, like you said, okay, so we got the address. The person, we, whoever it is, we roll up and it goes down. Then, like, I mean, what would be that outcome? What would that look like for us? Would it be even a more oppressed situation? Or,
like, so for, I'd say this, the fight for freedom starts somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It starts somewhere. And so when we have so many, especially in the black community, in hip hop, when we have so many real niggas and bad bitches and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? Everybody claiming that, but then when something like this happens, ain't nobody got nothing to do or nothing to say. You know what I'm saying? And that kind of boggles my mind. Because we don't sit here and fight each other on camera over some BS. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? But when there's a real threat, nobody knows what to do. You know what I'm saying?
I've been told we need to arm ourselves. You know, I've heard that from, I said, I've been told and I've heard from many people saying, you know, that, you know, we need to arm ourselves. You know, we need to, you know, think about, you know, what our, you know, great grandfathers and grandfathers did to protect their families, you know?
Right.
And we need to do the same.
If we're going to be a nation, there has to be a military. There has to be. That's why, you know, when you were talking about how I open, when I say I'm a warrior, I look at myself as a military or a part of the military for my people, especially for my family. Me being here, I have all daughters. You know what I'm saying? All mm-hmm. daughters and a wife. I'm mm-hmm. the only male in my household.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the military. I'm the first line of defense. I'm that protection.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you're going to defend them at all costs.
Right. That was, side note, that was one thing I admired about the brother in Georgia, the video about that brother, because he went down fighting. He went down fighting, as you're supposed to. With anything that's God-given, you're supposed to have, you have a right to defend that.
Right.
And so that was the one thing I could say, you know what? You know, I commend my brother for that, because he went down like he was supposed to. If it was going to have to go down, I'm going down fighting. Somebody, yeah, I'm not just going to be the only one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm out of this.
And I think that's what even frustrates me, because, you know, we have to fight, like, regardless of whatever situation we're in, we have to fight. Like, and I don't want to watch the video now, and I really don't want to watch it, because I don't want to see him in this struggle, because I'll take his face and put my son's face there. You know what I mean? Like, that's
I don't advise you to. I don't advise you to watch it. I don't think that it needs any more sting that it's already gotten.
Wow.
Because then that, you know, we just kind of feed the trauma.
Yeah, and we've,
I think enough people have seen it.
Right. Like, and we do, and we've dealt with trauma in so many facets of our lives as a culture too, because, you know, we got all kinds of, now we, as, you know, black people identifying with mental health issues, you know, anxiety, PTSD, you know, trauma, you know, all these different things that we've had to deal with. And we found a way to manage and cope and overcome, you know, so many different things. And it's, yeah.
And I think that goes to our testament of being God. Right, like the things that would have
say that again. Sure. Yeah, if you could speak up just a little bit, yeah. Yeah, that's better.
I think I'm sorry. I think my Bluetooth actually
died on you.
Yeah, it died on me.
That's all good. I can still hear you.
For sure. One of the lights that threw me off.
You were just getting ready to talk about, you know, dang, that threw me off too. It's okay.
I remember. So when I was speaking about, you know, being God or whatever, that's one of the things that would have destroyed another group of people we live through, and we thrive despite, you know what I'm saying, everything. And so it's kind of like, you know, when are we going to realize that, hey, who we are, and take our proper place back at the head of civilization?
Wow.
And, you know, we're that sleeping giant. We are the dog that we've been looking for. We are the help that we've been looking for.
And it's in the Bible, too. You know, yeah. They said that, you know, they talk about how the wealth is, you know, going to be, you know, the wicked. How does it go? The wealth of the wicked is saved up for the righteous. It talks about how, you know, the land, you know, that, you know, we are the chosen people. We are, you know, and if you date back, you know, these people that were, you know, in the land, they don't look like white people. They look like us.
No, not at all.
So you're right. I feel you on that. Definitely.
And another thing I try to keep in mind too is that, you know, everything ebbs and flows.
Mm.
Right? So, like, you know, for us to we have to, what is the saying? We have to go through it to grow through it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just we have to go through that struggle just so we can be stronger, bigger, and better than what we were.
And we're resilient. We're resilient people.
Exactly. Exactly. We're the truth, and the truth has no choice but to prevail.
Exactly.
It may have to go through hell to prevail, but it's going to prevail regardless. So that's just the nature of truth. It's that which is.
And, you know, our generations are becoming stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
They try to beat us at some certain things, and we became stronger physically. Then that's when you saw the athletes coming out. Now we're more innovators and thinkers and intelligent people creating all these great things. Not that it hasn't already occurred. They don't even give us credit for a lot of things that we, you know, it was a black woman who, you know, I forgot her name. I want to say she did the cell phone and just all different kinds of things. The stoplight, just all kinds of different things. Computers, all that.
Yeah.
It was a mastermind behind that. Hidden Figures. Who would have thought? Like, never would have known that story if the movie didn't come out. The book was out, but nobody really read it. Yeah. You know? So, it's multi-facets of different things that we have, you know, shown, you know, like, yeah, we can do it. If you think we can, yes, we can.
Yeah, our creativity.
Yes.
Our passion. You know, I was just having this conversation with somebody. You know, we can't lose our passion. I posted a video about it. We can't lose that because that's what fuels our creativity. That's what keeps us going. You know what I'm saying? Like, we wouldn't have, you know, great things like the pyramids or the Sphinx or any other, you know, great African treasure. Like, we got the first clock, our first, you know, timekeeping mechanism in Africa.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't talk about that type of stuff, but, you know, even as primitive as they try to say, well, which means, primitive just means first, that's what it means, but when they were just trying to say, that put that savage label on us, we were thinking in terms of keeping time.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And this is, I want to say, maybe, you know, 70,000, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have it right in front of me, but tens of thousands of years ago.
Yeah. So how can people find out more about you and what you do? Because I do want to talk a little bit about your digital library.
Oh, okay. The digital library. So basically what I wanted to do with that was take several different pieces of, you know, literature, you know, resources, little different things that I've accumulated over the years and kind of package them up into a library for people to go and say, hey, what can I brush up on, you know, Kundalini energy? What can I brush up on, you know, African-American history? You know, what can I brush up on, you know, African spirituality?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to go all of these different places. Like, you have one, you know, group of resources right here. At the palm of your hand. And yeah, so I think we've had that going since maybe January.
Oh, good.
January or February, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But yeah, that was one of the things I started to do. I started to accumulate so many resources and different things on, you know, little thumb drives and stuff like that. And I just kind of thought it'd be dope, like, you know, well, hey, I could put all this together and make a digital product. And plus, you know, I'm a hustler at the same time.
Right.
You know, it just kind of made it happen.
Right. Well, I definitely want to continuously support you in any kind of way, because knowledge is power. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe that.
Yeah, we just have to make sure we apply it, you know? We just have to make sure we apply the knowledge that we're gaining. And we don't want to be those mental masturbators. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
We're accumulating all the resources and not doing anything with it. That was one of the things as far as consciousness goes that I wanted to make sure that I was doing right. I didn't want to just, you know, study the greatness of my ancestors and not put into practice the things that they left behind. For me to remember who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But don't get me wrong, like, you know, if my ancestors can break down the complexity of mathematics and algebra and stuff like that, why can't I just sit down and learn some basics of it? You know what I'm saying? To learn how to build. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I'm saying I'm woke, right?
Right.
If I'm woke, now I need to be doing what the gods did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or at least attempting it. You know what I'm saying? Trying to learn, trying to understand it.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I do appreciate talking to you. Did you want to share, like, how people can find you on social media? Or is there anything in particular you want to touch on before we close out?
So my social media, my Instagram is @certified_pan_GZ. It's kind of long, I know, but it started out as a clothing brand. And again, like I said, as I kind of moved through consciousness,
mm-hmm.
I got to the point to where, you know what, I want to do everything that I want to do, right? And so the past couple of months, I just started to do and engage in everything that has kind of made me. So I started to draw and paint again. So now we're going to be, you know, be releasing some art.
Good.
Reading, like you said, you just brought up the digital e-library. What else? I've gotten into learning about digital advertising.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm helping people on the, I have another backup page, well, I'm going to say backup page, but another Instagram page, which is CPAG_black_ads. Our slogan is get your black ads over here.
Right.
And so, so
I love it.
We want to, basically what we want to do is help the black, you know, the black business or the black entrepreneur as far as marketing goes. Like, I being a new entrepreneur and, you know, you find out that, man, marketing budgets are crazy.
Yes.
So I wanted to be able to help more people like me, or just become a resource and be like, well, hey, y'all can advertise with us for the low. You know, right. Our motto is we validate ourselves. We take so much of our energy, right? Remember I was saying that, you know, the creativity of the young black boy and girl, that's what fuels society.
Right.
We set trends. And so everything that we put our energy to energy into, we make it hot.
Right.
And so we've been spending all this time and energy making everybody else hot around us and not making our own selves hot.
You can say that again.
So, I say we take all of our time and energy and make everybody around us hot. Meaning, like, you know, we'll take a Gucci and make Gucci, you know what I'm saying, hotter. We'll, you know, we'll take an old white man and give him power over all of our music. You know what I'm saying? And so now in turn, it's like, okay, yeah, you made me popular, but I've made you a billionaire. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I've helped you more than you've helped me, because, you know, my sense of value is just, you know, being popular as a musician. You know what I'm saying? It's not really being in charge of my own, not really being in charge of my own destiny.
Right.
And so, now that consciousness has kind of been sparking, like you said, you see more independent artists and stuff like that. And I'm just basically just trying to fill that independent route, I guess you say, as far as entrepreneurs go. Like, we don't need huge budgets, millions of dollars, you know what I'm saying, to make ourselves out. We can do that on our own.
We can do it on our own. Well, that's wonderful. It was wonderful. I really, really enjoyed talking to you today.
Yes.
And hopefully we can do this again soon. I appreciate it.
We're going to have to.
Look, we only had 60 minutes to do this, and we had 57.48. I think we're within this realm, but I really do appreciate you being on Brown Girl Table Talk.
For sure. Thank you for the opportunity. And like I said, I'm humbled just by the experience.
Yes.
It was dope. And, you know, steel sharpens steel. And so it's always nice to have information.
Well, I appreciate that. That's what's up.
And gain other perspectives.
Absolutely.